Now, Paige, when we come in here and we're talking off air and we thought, Jesus, we better hit record. You said you were going to ask me a question because, you know, this is what we do.
Oh, yes.
So I hope I haven't put you on the spot.
No, have not at all. Well, I think I still remember the question.
Okay.
So, and it did lead us down a little path, and I'm sure we're going to be happy to explore it on air. And that was, it was about the voice, Nelson. Mm. You know, I'm a whitey, and I came out from England in 1971. And, you know, the English Empire, the great and glorious empire, and people can't see me raise my eyebrows and all that sort of stuff because it's not a visual format and things like that. And we weren't told the truth as kids. When I went to school, there was zero Indigenous history.
Yeah.
Zero culture was shared with us. You know, we did, I think it was French or German with the languages. We did Chinese history.
Okay.
So it was all about Ming dynasties and all those sorts of things. I still remember Dennis Hunt. And then every third Friday with Dennis Hunt, our history teacher, we'd have like a rock whiz.
Yep.
It was like, he was pretty cool.
Yeah.
Things. But we got no information or any education on the Indigenous culture and the history of Australia. You know, it was terra nullius or something.
Terra nullius,
sold to everyone as being vacant land. Indeed. And I know the Indigenous, you know, I've learned, there's still so much more to learn and things, obviously, because there's, what, 40, 60,000 plus years of history of peoples living and caring for country out here, which is something we don't seem to do very well as an industrialised nation. Mm-hmm. You know, or globally, and it's just exploit the land, exploit the people and all those sorts of things.
Yep.
But I did ask you about the voice and the referendum, and because it was one of those, I was so upset about just the negativity and how easy it was for the no campaign to have an effect. So equally disappointed on the yes side of things, of how they let that happen. And I'm not sure of the mechanisms of how all that worked and the questioning or how the questions were posed in the referendum. And, you know, hindsight's a, you know, can be crystal clear at times and things. And, you know, if it was reworded a bit different and all that sort of thing, you know, it might have been a different result. But one of the things that we're talking about was I was invited to MC an announcement for an independent candidate for the next federal election, which hasn't been called yet. And things. So there's a nervous public speaking event with 200 people in the room. It's like, what am I doing? Anyway, this old chappy came up. When I say old chappy, he was a little bit older than me, and I'm an old chappy. came up to me, and he said he was a Liberal voter. But the reason why he was at this announcement for an independent candidate was because of the lie that he was told by the local MP for Casey, the sitting member for Casey in the federal electorate of Casey, not the municipality of Casey, so this is federal, Aaron Violi, a Liberal Party member. And he told this guy that the Wurundjeri people were voting no in the referendum. And, you know, this guy said it turned out to be a lie. And once he told me that, I sort of tried to find some stats on, you know, the demographics of who was voting yes, who was voting no. I think ANU did some studies and released some papers and all those sorts of things. And I think it was what I found there was it was like quite overwhelming that the Indigenous peoples were voting yes. And, you know, it's that small group that gets all the attention of the naysayers. So you had Warren Mundine and Jacinta Price. Was it Jacinta Price? Who were the big spokespeople for the Indigenous population of the No campaign.
Yep.
And then if you look through the Sky News and all that sort of stuff, they'll take that those two are voting no, so that means they're all voting no. Mm. And it's like, you know, it's not how a democracy works. You're not going to get 100% of the people on board.
Mm.
And, you know, it's just never going to happen in that sort of thing. And so this guy was like, he voted no on that information.
Mm.
And I'm thinking, well, how many people voted no because of that, those straight out lies and things? I remember there was someone who was talking about, oh, it's a secret land grab by the UN or something, and they're coming to take your houses and all. It's like,
No, it's okay.
But you know, that's absorbed because people don't Or they rarely scratch the surface. I'm guilty of that myself.
Yep.
But, you know, they'll take that clickbait headline and they'll base their opinions on that.
Yep.
And a lot of the stuff now isn't news. It's just opinionators.
Yep.
And those sorts of things. So, because you said, yes, it is true that Aaron Violi didn't say that about the Wurundjeri voting no.
I'm not sure about the Wurundjeri part of it. I know that he did meet with some Indigenous people and they had expressed their voting yes, and he said something along the lines of that with the no.
Yeah.
That, you know, so obviously being one of them. So, you know, there was that. But I think you're right, Paige, in terms of the no campaign was so overwhelming that it was always going to be hard for the yes vote to win.
It was too easy for him.
To be completely honest, it was everywhere. Essentially, and I think you're right. I think it's just a lot of people just didn't know what to do, I think.
Yeah.
You know, I think a lot of people just didn't know what to do, and because the information might not have been there for them. And as you said, I'm the same as you, mate. When it comes to the researching, sometimes it's like...
It's hard. There's so much white noise out there now.
Yeah.
Like, so much. We never got exposed to this amount of information.
Yep.
And, you know, with the way algorithms work, you know, people just get stuck in that echo chamber. And just that message just gets reinforced over and over and over again. And I really do think it's important that you tap in. Like, you've got your what you deem to be trusted sources of information and platforms and those sorts of things. It's important to go and check out what's being broadcast elsewhere on other platforms, or read a publication that's not, you know, necessarily with your way of thinking, because it explains why people are thinking the way they do.
Yep.
And I remember being at a barbecue, Nels, and with some old bank colleagues from yesteryear, and I catch up with a couple of the guys once or twice a year that I used to work with, and this was at a barbie at one of those guys, and so there were other people from the bank that I hadn't seen for, you know, 20 plus years, and one guy was just off tap. And we shut him down. We had to shut him down pretty quickly because, like, he was being horrible, just absolutely horrible. And then he looked at us surprised, saying, "Oh, did you all vote yes?"
Mm.
And we went, yeah, we did. And so we asked him why he voted no, and it was because of, you know, those lies and things that he had been told.
Mm.
And it's just, you know, it's too easy to instill fear in people. And then after about a 20-minute conversation, he realised he'd been duped and things. But, of course, the damage has been done. This is post-referendum, not before the referendum and those sorts of things. So I don't know. It's such a weird world, Nels.
I can tell you the beauty that, you know, although it didn't go the way that I personally wanted to go, and that's fine. That's as you said, that's democracy, and that's how it works.
Yeah.
But, you know, I guess it's like anything where if something doesn't go how you planned or whatever, you dust yourself off and you continue on. And for me, it's the last 12 months have been really cool that, you know, I still get to talk to people like yourself, and, you know, I haven't even thought of the referendum for 12 months.
Yeah.
Really. It so was kind of something.
I guess so. Is that sort of now where you're, you know, we look forward?
Yep.
So, you know, obviously you've got to try and learn from those sorts of things, but how do we keep that discussion going?
Yep.
And how do we get people to acknowledge and understand, you know, that giving somebody else the same rights as you doesn't mean to say you have to give up rights. Mm. And I think this is one thing that, you know, that far-right media is very good at is, you know, they're telling people you're going to lose something if they get something.
Yeah,
And it's like, it's just not true. I don't understand. I saw a cartoon once and it sort of nailed it for me. And it was a picture of Rupert Murdoch.
Yep.
It was a cartoon. It was a caricature cartoon. Picture of Rupert Murdoch. White guy on one side, black guy on the other side of the table, and Rupert in the middle.
Mm-hmm.
And Rupert had a massive plate of biscuits in front of him, like 100 biscuits on his plate. The white guy had one biscuit. The black guy had no biscuits. And Rupert said, "Careful, mate," to the white guy. "That guy wants your biscuit."
Yeah, right.
And it's like, that is it. That sums up
I haven't seen that
situation.
I haven't seen
it. I can't remember where I saw it, but I thought, yeah.
Could Google it.
So there's a capitalist pig, I'm just going to call it that, who has interest in manipulating the outcomes of elections through his media outlets and that sort of control. and things like that, instilling fear in someone, saying that somebody else wants that one thing that he's got when he's got it all anyway.
Mm-hmm.
And he's, you know, Rupert's not willing to share any of it with anyone.
No, no, that's right. I'll tell you the beauty of reconciliation though, mate. And probably what fuels me and why I like to do what I do is reconciliation is something you have to do together.
Yep. It doesn't work any other way.
So I think that, as you said, it's not that you're forgetting about the past. Obviously, for me, it's about, you know, that happened and you can talk about that and reflect on it, but it's, you've got to keep moving forward. And as a nation, we have to just keep moving forward.
Yes.
And the best way to move forward is together, as a united nation.
Yes.
That's my opinion.
Yeah, well, I, you know, that makes sense to me now. But, you know, because you can't, if you're combative, you're not moving forward.
Yeah.
You know, in the direction that it needs to go in.
And I'm not angry. Like, I'm not angry about last year.
It is, well, that's, you know, that is, you know, that's fantastic. I think because anger is a negative emotion.
Yeah.
And it's not going to help you progress. No. When I say you, I say, you know, us, everyone. Yeah.
No, but I'm not angry. People have the, and at the end of the day, as
people
you said,
have the right people to be have angry. The right. I think so. Yeah.
And people have the right to do what they want in life and vote how they want to vote on everything in life. Yes. And so I'm not angry. I just, you know, it was disappointing for me and a lot of other people. But at the end of the day, we move on, essentially.
Well, and that is essential. You say essentially that you do, but it is essential.
Yes.
That that moving forward, and you know, I don't know what the answers are. Nels, obviously, you know, hopefully I'm a part of it or I can be a part of it and things like that of a discussion and, you know, being able to just talk about these things, you know, rather than just burying them in the sand, you know, just in social circles, work circles, all those sorts of things where people are absorbing their news and information from all different areas and things and trying to find that common ground.